The Council on American Islamic Relations of Los Angeles, or CARE LA, filed a complaint on Friday over Nevada police's detention of seven California Muslims for so-called suspicious activity. The men had been traveling through Henderson, Nevada, when they stopped at a local shopping center for gas and food. It was in the parking lot where the Muslims from various ethnic backgrounds openly prayed. Soon after receiving a report, police cars arrived to question the men, search their vehicle, and ultimately detain them. A CARE LA staff attorney contacted the Henderson police chief, asserting that the police actions were unreasonable and illegitimate. One of the seven Muslim men involved in the Nevada incident will join with civil liberties advocates, academics, researchers, and other activists for a local town hall tomorrow discussing the phenomenon of suspicious activity reporting. Co-hosted by CARE LA, the gathering will also highlight a new study to be released by Political Research Associates, detailing the practice as one that all too often institutionalizes domestic surveillance, promotes racial profiling, and despite claims to the contrary, actually undermines national security. My guest is Amina Mirza Kazi. She is the Deputy Executive Director and Staff Attorney with CARE LA. Welcome to Uprising, Amina.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us. So as far as I understand, suspicious activity reporting has traditionally been around suspicious financial activities, reporting to the IRS any sort of suspicious activities with banking, et cetera. But in recent years, suspicious activity and its definition has been redefined by the FBI to just be around a whole host of potentially criminal and or terrorist issues. Can you explain to us what exactly the government means by suspicious activities?
Sure. Well, you know, the government and local law enforcement agencies have been collecting tips and leads for many, many years. What's different, though, about the current nationwide initiative on suspicious activity reporting is that it seeks to enhance the intelligence gathering of activities that have a nexus to crime or terrorist activity. So basically, it's a system to help local law enforcement and federal agencies share information about suspicious activity, both by sharing that information between each other and also by soliciting civilian complaints.
So essentially, it's like a snitch program.
Essentially, it is. What they're seeking to do is gather as much information, casting this huge intelligent net of normal activity, which they find to have some sort of nexus to terrorism, from the local population, basically. So everyday activity that many of us feel is protected by the First Amendment is now seeming to be looked upon as having a criminal component.
So let's talk about this incident in Henderson, Nevada. Seven California Muslims traveling through Nevada. What exactly were they detained for?
Essentially, the seven men were on a road trip to Utah, to Mount Zion, just to have fun. They stopped in at a local shopping complex and gas station for gas and food. They needed to pray their evening prayer. As many people know, Muslims pray five times a day. So they had to make their fourth prayer of the day, which occurs right after sunset. So they decided to, after they got their gas and food, to pray outside of their vehicle. Apparently, there was a local citizen who saw this, actually one or two, and reported it and called it in to local law enforcement. Local law enforcement then responded, apparently, to this report of so-called suspicious activity. The local law enforcement met the young men, asked if they knew why they were being detained. The young men said, well, we were just, you know, praying, we're friends on a road trip. And even after this basic and sufficient explanation, the officers went ahead and detained the young men on the curb for about 35 to 40 minutes. In about 40-degree weather, and the only thing that these young men had been accused of was praying in a parking lot.
Were they handcuffed?
They weren't handcuffed, but they were forced to, you know, sit with their legs crossed, with their hands out in front of them. If they tried to get their phone from their pocket, or even when the officers asked for their identification and they reached inside their pockets, the officers were like, no, keep your hands in front of you where we can see you. So it was very clear that this was a detention and that they were treated as potential suspects.
So essentially their crime, if you will, was praying.
Essentially, it was. They were released without further incident, without any arrest, and the officers even conceded that they had received a complaint from a local citizen saying that there were a bunch of men kissing the ground, making strange moves, and that they were there to check it out. That we did receive a copy of the initial police incident report, which did state that somebody saw seven Middle Eastern men kissing the ground and therefore reported it to law enforcement. So based on that initial report, and based on the fact that the men said we were praying, the officers should have known right away that these were just men engaged in First Amendment protected activity. But instead, they deemed it suspicious enough to have to look into it a bit further.
How typical is this sort of incident?
You know, unfortunately, it's becoming more and more typical. I get many complaints at my office about this sort of thing occurring, whether it be somebody flying in a plane and going to the bathroom. We've actually gotten several cases of that within the last several months of Muslims getting up to go to the bathroom. You know, people who
in the middle of a flight.
Yeah, in the middle of a flight, and then it gets reported. I've had clients who were actually booted off of a plane because they chose to use the bathroom ahead of time. And not only that, but then they have FBI agents or other law enforcement following up with them asking about this activity. And it's so absurd for me to be sitting there discussing with an FBI agent the bathroom habits of my client and why my client has the right to use the bathroom during flight. And it just seems that there is this growing trend of any sort of activity that a Muslim, South Asian, or person of Middle Eastern descent engages in is now deemed to be suspicious and have some link to terrorist activity.
Meanwhile, it seems as though the profile of somebody who's likely to pull out a gun and shoot at a federal agents or fly a plane into a building is a white male conservative. But certainly, I can't imagine that this sort of reporting is aimed at them.
No, exactly, and that's the whole point. That what they're doing with a suspicious activity reporting initiative is taking normal activity that they deem to have some sort of link to criminal activity. But the thing that makes it normal activity and puts it over to suspicious activity, our concern is that element will be a person's race, religion, or national origin. And that will be, unfortunately, the factors that with a normal citizen or with a law enforcement officer, that will be the indicating factor to make it suspicious activity, which leaves a huge way open for racial profiling, and that it won't be that white Caucasian who flies a plane into a building who will be deemed to be terrorist activity. Even unfortunately, our own Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, has also seemingly refused to characterize that incident of the man in Texas who flew his plane into the IRS building as an act of terrorism. Mm-hmm. But if a Muslim were to do it, it would be an act of terrorism. And I think that's the problem underlying much of the suspicious activity reporting initiative, is that law enforcement seems to have already identified who they're looking for, the demographic profile of the person that they are looking for. And in so doing, they're deriving suspicious activity indicators that will point towards that person who is most likely, you know, Muslim, Middle Eastern, or South Asian, North African, what have you. And that in doing so, it's not only bad for law enforcement because it generates way too many false positives, false reports that have no indicia of criminal activity, but it also leads to the unfair racial profiling, religious profiling of this whole population, and really chill the First Amendment protected activity of these people.
I'm speaking with Amina Mirza Kazi. She's the Deputy Executive Director and a staff attorney for the Council on American Islamic Relations of Los Angeles. By the way, the town hall that CARE LA is organizing and co-sponsoring is happening tomorrow, Wednesday, March 10th, at the CARE LA main office, 2180 West Crescent Avenue, Suite F in Anaheim. That's on the second floor. Again, that's the CARE LA main office, 2180 West Crescent Avenue, Suite F on the second floor. And it starts at 6:30 p.m. There'll be a reception. The program starts at 7 p.m. And there'll be a number of speakers, including those with the American Civil Liberties Union and the Political Research Associates. The PRA is about to release a report on suspicious activities reporting. In fact, Amina, when will that report be released? released, and where can people find it?
It'll be released in about a week or so. They're just working up the final draft. People can view it at www.publicEye.org.
That's publicEye.org. So at this point, how many ordinary citizens do you think are engaged also in suspicious activity reporting? And is it part of CARE's program to try to raise awareness among ordinary Americans, particularly those who may not be Muslim, who may feel prone to treating Muslims with suspicion? Do you have programs to raise awareness among them of what the reality is?
Yeah, you know, it is an unfortunate trend that, you know, people are being encouraged by local law enforcement to report suspicious activity, and we agree with that. We believe that people should report activity that is suspicious, any criminal activity. With any workshop we give, we always tell people that's your first and foremost duty, to participate in the protection of our nation. But at the same time, there is this level of prejudice and bias within the populace towards American Muslims by some people, and we do see a lot of these cases, whether it's a coworker reporting on another coworker, a landlord reporting on a tenant. We do see these instances very, very often. And most often when there is a suspicious activity report, there is also an attenuating adverse effect by that civilian towards the person they're reporting on. So what we do also attempt to do is conduct, you know, community workshops, awareness campaigns. We do work very heavily with media organizations and outlets to affect the negative portrayal of Muslims, to show and represent Muslims accurately, who are just normal American citizens engaging in normal activity, and showing that we all have the mutual interest of protecting our nation. And the only way to do that is to figure out concrete behaviors and indicators that lead to criminal activity or terrorist-related activity, and that by having a more cohesive and healthy community, that aberrant behavior within those communities can more easily be identified. So it's that healthy, cohesive community that we're working to build.
Amina, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Amina Mirza Kazi is the Deputy Executive Director and Staff Attorney at CARE LA. The town hall again is tomorrow evening at 6:30 p.m. It's going to start out with a reception. The program starts at 7 p.m. at the CARE LA main office in Anaheim, 2180 West Crescent Avenue, Suite F. And space is limited. We'll put all the information, including how you can RSVP, on our website, kpfk.org/uprising, after 10 a.m. this morning. So you can check our website for all of that information.